This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
If that line falls on the right, babe. Not that.
Oh, that's right. We're still singing. I don't care.
Back in town.
Still not quite there for the yes sirs, but that's okay. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on this Wednesday. That's right, Wednesday morning until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. 888-808-1019. Alex on the other side. And we're going to talk panic baseball. Everybody panic. Ah, pennant race baseball is fun. Don't you love it? I know Met fans were loving last night. And let's start there because it's the game that actually truly significantly matters. Before we get into the Yankees and the nonsense that did go on there, let's focus on the New York Mets because this is an incredibly important series. And last night was an incredibly important game. And when you mix in the rain that we'll get to and all the scenarios that could play out and how this thing could line up heading into Monday, after the season's supposed to end on Sunday because of the rain and the hurricane, it's unbelievably important, and we talked about it last night, to go out there and win the first game because otherwise the entire fan base would feel this panic, right? And it, in many ways, I understand it. Let's get to the game first before I start to go nuts about how this group is supposed to be different, right? Oh, they're resilient. They're this, they're that. I get call after call how special they are. It's one loss, and we're off. They're going to do it again. And obviously last night wasn't very good, and I told you about Severino. We talked about it last night. I went through his Yankee postseason record. As great as I think Severino has been in his career, and it's hard to argue. Other than last year, when Severino's on the mound, Severino is a damn good pitcher. An ace for most of his career, or borderline ace at the very worst. That's Severino on the mound. But in big games, Severino has struggled to be the same pitcher that he is throughout the course of the regular season. And while he wasn't awful last night, and he didn't get hit around the ballpark, you could tell early on, he just wasn't sharp in this game. And really what it comes down to is, for me, the third inning and the inability for the Mets to take advantage of the botched ground ball to second base that prolongs the inning, and then Marte hits the soft ground ball, and he had a terrible night. Marte looked awful in this game, batting third. And he's unable to get the and take advantage of the error the Braves make. And in the third inning, all the mistakes the Mets made, and there were a bunch of them, whether it's obviously the bunt, the swinging bunt to start the inning and thrown away by Severino, where Alvarez went far two out and got in the way of Severino before he threw it out, whether it's Marte throwing the ball well above the cutoff man's head that allows Albies to go to second base. Like, there were a bunch of mistakes in that inning to lead to where that inning went. And I understand how we want to focus on what this team has done against this Atlanta Braves team throughout history. And I understand, and I do think there's middle ground. I don't think it's completely worthless to go back to what this franchise has done, because one of the examples is 2 years ago, where a lot of these players were still on this team. But I also don't think it changes the idea of what we believe this team to be. And every single time we have felt like this team was on the precipice of folding and just coming off a brutal loss or coming off a stretch of poor play, and we were ready to say, here we go, we knew it all along, this team would step up and give you a big-time performance. And we talked about it going into the game. Sure, this is important. And now the lead is cut down to a one-game lead. You don't know when you're going to play again. There's a very good chance the next game is Friday in Milwaukee. A very good chance. And who knows, and we'll get to all the different ramifications because, you know, almost without question, they're going to have to figure out how to play these two games. I don't know if it's possible to come up with a scenario where these two games will be meaningless. But now it's and they didn't help themselves in losing this game. But now it is a one-game lead over the Atlanta Braves. And you went into that building all hyped up for this series. And with what happened 2 years ago, and the way this team has felt different than even that team did. I know that for a long stretch, that team was as good as any in baseball. And I think they went like the first 2 months without losing a series. And they were on their way to 100 wins, and they had the rotation lined up by either Hall of Famers or at least Hall of Fame talent in DeGrom, and you could argue he's a Hall of Famer. But that rotation was set. That was the key of the team. They were on their way to 101 wins. They had led the division the entire year, and the Atlanta Braves stepped up and took all three from them, and this game felt like that. There's no two ways about it. The offense felt stagnant. There were a ton of bad at-bats. Severino, again, while not awful, can't get Harris out. Could not really get anybody. I mean, he does have 5 strikeouts in this game, but he just couldn't put anybody away. The effort he had to put into just getting out of the first inning. The second inning was a little bit better, but just the effort he had to put into getting out of the first inning, you could tell. And I'm telling you, I'm a Yankee fan. I talked about this last night. You could tell that was not going to be a dominant performance from Severino from the jump. From the first at-bat of the game, I think it's a 9 or 10 pitch at-bat, and then finally Harris gives you the base hit up the middle, and you just know that you're going to have to score runs because Severino is not going to be perfect, and then you have to do what you have to do. And they're lined up for a big series. They do have a 2-game cushion. You're going to go to the Stanix of the world. You're going to go to the lesser parts of this bullpen if you're forced to take out Severino when they were forced to take him out. And it was just a lackluster performance. The bats did absolutely nothing. The pitching continued to add on. You had a couple of brief moments. Vientos is the only one in this game with a hard hit. A hard hit single and the home run. You thought maybe with the single in the 8th inning that maybe you could get something going. But ultimately, hardly a rally. And for this team that just took 3 out of 4 from Philadelphia. This team that just took 3 out of 4 from what I believe and many believe to be the best team in the National League. To have them lose this one game, even as ugly as it looked, even as similar to previous adorations of Mets Braves, and as disgusting as it felt, I don't believe there should be a time for panic with this team. I believe the idea that we should abandon what we thought yesterday when I took call after call about the positivity surrounding this team. And forget the grimace, forget the OMG, forget everything else. This Met team that consistently bounces back. And I know it felt like last night was the first time they really missed Lindor. They missed his steadiness. They missed him at the top of the lineup. They missed his quality at bats. They missed his MVP-type performances. And you actually saw him ready to pinch hit in the bottom of the top of the 9th, rather, and ultimately never got there. But that is an enormous sign of positivity moving forward. If he's able to pinch hit, at least maybe that is at the bare minimum on the table at some point, and maybe even to get back into this lineup, which they are desperately in need of. And as well as they've played without him, it felt like last night in this big game that they were really missing their leader in Lindor. Because God knows, and unfortunately, I continue to try and get it out of him. We all do. But Pete Alonso, although he's not the face of this loss, again, in the ninth inning, leading off, swinging at the first pitch, which is when you're down that many runs, it makes absolutely no sense to swing at the first pitch, whether it's a strikeout, it's just the leadership, and Nimmo had, you know, really nothing going on today. The leadership has got to come from Lindor. He is their guy. And for the first time, despite how well they played, it felt like they were in desperate need of their leader, their guy. But ultimately, this is one game. They came in with a cushion. They played well enough over the last month to take a four-game deficit and turn it into a two-game lead for this exact purpose. Now, you wanted to go in there and play well, and you didn't. And you wanted to make sure that you took this game, especially with the next two, and who knows where it's going to be, who knows when it's going to be. You could see the likelihood of a doubleheader on Monday before a playoff series, and you just saw last night, and we'll get to it, the San Diego Padres turn a triple play in the ninth inning to secure they're going to be a wild card team this year. Arizona lost last night, and this would have been a prime opportunity to make a statement against the Atlanta Braves, who found out earlier in the day that their all-star third baseman is gone for the rest of the year. And you wanted to go in there, no doubt. You wanted to go in there and make a statement game one. And instead, Schwellenbach again shuts you down, as he did the last time he saw you earlier in this season. You had the one time where you felt like you're going to have the pitching matchup, because who knows if you play tomorrow? I doubt you do, but you're looking at the Cy Young Award winner on the mound tomorrow. You got Freed the next game. This was the game to go in there and set this thing up to make it feel different than 2 years ago. And as much as this was a, lackluster, pitiful performance, this team has shown you time and time again, and we talked about it, and you can't abandon it one game out into the series. You can't run from it. You can't embrace the negativity. You can't embrace the idea that here we go again when we've talked about time and time again and you've believed it and you've told me. I've taken call after call about how special this group is and how resilient. That has been the word we've heard. Well, they have a chance to prove it either tomorrow or against, because I don't think they're going to play Thursday, or Friday in Milwaukee. They still have a one-game lead. They are still ahead of the Arizona Diamondbacks a half a game as they got pounded by the Giants. And all they need to do is tie them to get into this postseason. This New York Met team, time and time again, every time they come across a moment like this where they're staring at the fork in the road. And I understand whenever they've met this moment against the Atlanta Braves in their history, it's always gone the wrong way. And last night did nothing, whether it was all the mistakes they made, whether it was the lackluster offense, whether it was the starting pitcher who has a history of doing this in big games, unable to give you that good performance and unable to get out of jams and unable to put hitters away and, unable to keep them off the scoreboard. I get it. I get that performance was pretty much over by the fifth or sixth inning. It felt like that game was done. It felt like the game was done. When Harris really goes deep the other way, it feels like that game is over. And I understand that. But they still have an opportunity. They came in with a cushion. They have the advantage in all of this. And I'm not ready to give up on this team, nor should anybody else, and nor should any Met fan. And I'm not telling you to ignore what your eyes saw. Last night was an ugly game. And hopefully, Lindor, your MVP, will be back in the lineup. He was ready to pinch hit. Hopefully that's a possibility at least. And yeah, you made boneheaded mistakes. And you can't make them in these type of games. And we'll get into that when we get into the Yankees as well. But like, this is not the time to panic. And I want to, this is the moment here to test this group. This is it. Because they like to call themselves resilient, right? Pete Alonso said it. So really, ultimately, I'm just talking to you, and we can talk about how you feel about it, and you can give me a call at 888-808-1019. It's going to be how they respond and how they react to it. It's going to be how this group recovers from this loss, which is by far, I mean, the most important game of the season this year, and they came out flat. They couldn't, and really that third inning is just the epitome of the game for me, because they get the benefit of the misplay at shortstop. It sets up second and third, first and second, two outs. Marte up, and he hits the soft ground ball. They're unable to take advantage of the Atlanta mistake, and then right there, boom, as soon as you turn around, bottom of the inning. And, you know, it's funny, too, because so much has happened the opposite for the New York Mets this year, where they would either give up the mistake in the top of the inning or make the great play or whatever, something would happen, even if it was negative, and then right, they would turn it around right away, and instead, they were unable to take advantage of the mistake, and then right away, in the bottom of that inning, the first batter, you throw the ball away into right field, and boom, then you get a double down the line, the overthrow on the next base hit that drives them in to make it two to set up another run at third base where you score much easier with the runner at third. You might have had an out on the ground ball to third that advanced them over to third base. Instead, you got a runner at third. You could have had a possible double play. Luis Angel Acuna almost, and well, he did blow a double play, but you were able to at least get one out. So the Mets not only didn't hit, the Mets not only couldn't pitch, the Mets made mistakes in the field, the Mets gave you lifeless at-bats, and the Mets allowed the other team to be the team that took advantage of the mistakes when for so many times this season, whether it was last night or two nights ago against Philadelphia where balls hit off the base and go flying up in the air, it's always been the Mets this year who've recovered. It's always been the Mets who've bounced back. It's always been the Mets who've taken advantage of others' mistakes. That's what's got them here since they had since they were 11 games under 500. They had the team meeting, and now they've had the best record in baseball since June. And that's who they've been. And we're going to find out who they are, because how they bounce back from this is will determine who they are. Not last night. Last night won't determine who they are. Last night won't define this season. No matter what happens, I'm sorry, it just won't. Even if they lose and you want to look back to it, oh, they had the opportunity there, you might be able to, but it's how they've responded every single time this year. Last night won't define them. What they do moving forward will. And this team has consistently given you reason to believe. This team has consistently bounced back. I called them dead in June. I said, good luck catching the Braves when they were four games back at the end of August. I was right there willing to doubt them at every turn. And you've thrown it in my face, and Fliegelman has thrown it in my face, and I've been wrong about them. Now is not the time to doubt them, and hopefully now is not the time they doubt themselves. Because even the other day when they gave up, you know, they got beaten up in that second game of the series against Philadelphia, they bounced right back. They have bounced back at every turn. Will they do it again? Can this offense muster enough? Will Lindor go out there in pain and try and give his team a boost? Because I think that absolutely would. If he goes out there and his teammates see and know he's in pain, and he goes out there and performs or at least takes the field, hopefully they can rally around that. But you know what? I watched this Atlanta Braves team. I know they're dealing with injuries. But this is who they are in these stretches, and they feel comfortable against this Met team in these situations. And whether it's tomorrow or later today, rather, or whether it's on Monday or whether it's in a neutral site, which, by the way, they absolutely, if Major League Baseball has a head on their shoulders, they have got to figure out a way to at least play one game. And I want to get into this a little bit more, and we will at 888-808-1019. Major League Baseball has got to find a way to at least get one of these two games in at a neutral site if necessary, which obviously it's probably going to be. So you need to get one of these two games in, because to ask these two teams, and we'll go over the scenarios, the likelihood of them having to come back to play both of these games on Monday is almost a certainty. The Mets would have to be three games up for it not to matter. Three games up for it not to matter. That's going to be very difficult. They're going to have to sweep Milwaukee, and the Braves are going to have to lose two out of three for that to be the scenario. That's the only scenario those games won't matter. So you're going to ask either the Atlanta Braves or the New York Mets to come back to Atlanta, play a doubleheader on Monday, before flying out to San Diego? I mean, you cannot ask either the Braves or the Mets to do it. So they better figure out a way to get at least one of these two games in somewhere. But how do the Mets respond? That's the question. We'll get to the Yankees as well, 888-808-1019. And you want to talk about panic. I mean, the Yankees played a little bit of an ugly game. Gleyber Torres had a horrendous mistake. I would throw Soto under the bus, too. I don't know why he's going to second base. And yes, I don't understand why Jason Dominguez isn't in the lineup. But last night's Met game was an important game. A do-or-die game. The kind of game that determines your season. The Yankees were not playing Game 7 of the World Series last night. Yes, I want them to win. Yes, I want the Yankees to celebrate, and I want to clinch the division as soon as possible. They're up 5 games now with 5 to play. Yankee fans, get a hold of yourself. And we act like they've been playing terribly. Oh, they have the best record in the American League since late July. They're coming off a 5-1 road trip, and we talk as if this is what we've seen forever. The overreaction is almost as annoying as the play on the field.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
The Yankees have an opportunity to tie the game in the seventh inning. He's standing on second base, second and third, Soto up. Soto gets a base hit right to the right fielder, and Gleyber Torres is given the hold sign by Luis Rojas at third base, which I thought was a mistake. Should have sent him. But he holds him up. The throw comes over the cutoff's head. And this is the other thing, too. What the hell is Juan Soto doing? Like, let's just be fair. Soto made a base running blunder of his own on that play. There is no need, and we've talked about this, with Judge behind him, with two outs, there is no need to take any risk to try and get to second base and leave first base open. They might walk him anyway with second base open, but I am not making it easy for the Baltimore Orioles to take the bat out of Judge's hand. And especially now with Wells slumping, which is another talking point of this game. Wells, Chisholm, Stanton, nothing. Nothing. And have been in slumps here. Why are we taking any kind of risk? I understand that the throw went over the cutoff man's head. And to be totally honest with you, I've watched the play a bunch. I'm not sure that if Gunnar Henderson didn't realize they had a dead duck at home in Torres, that he doesn't stay on the bag and tag out Juan Soto. Juan Soto might be out at second base. It's a dumb base running play all around, but then obviously Gleyber Torres, as soon as Adley Rutschman throws to second base, inexplicably, when he goes back to the base, takes off for home and is out by 100 miles. It is some of the absolute, like, he is, last night you saw the exact dichotomy of what Gleyber Torres is. That was the Gleyber Torres experience. Gleyber Torres giveth, Gleyber Torres taketh away. Like, it is unbelievable. That is some of the dumbest base running. Between the two of them, I don't want to let Soto off the hook. I'm pissed Soto tried to go to second base. Pissed. But that doesn't excuse Gleyber from trying to head home. I have no idea why. No idea why. And that is going to come up. We're going to get on these things where when they get into a postseason series, which, by the way, they're going to win this division. They are going to be the number one overall seed. And the reaction to this game, as ugly as that base running was, and we have to worry about plays like that coming through. No doubt about it. Gleyber Torres in the field, Gleyber Torres on the base path, Juan Soto on the base path, Juan Soto in right field. We have seen Dominguez drop balls. We've seen Verdugo fall down. We've seen Gleyber Volpe make bad plays in the ninth inning with games on the line with Clay Holmes pitching. Like, we have to worry about all that. Of course, every team does. We just got done playing Seattle. They had more base running blunders than, like, they actually were worse than Gleyber Torres. Every team has to worry about bad plays. Every team has to worry about errors. Every team has to worry about hitting in the clutch. The Mets didn't hit in the clutch last night. That's part of it. And I'm sick and tired of the woe is me. Like, I'm just tired of the hatred from Yankee fans. I am tired. Like, they're talking about this, you guys, the reaction from this game last night, as if the Yankees have been, I know the Yankees went through a long stretch, way too long, where they weren't very good. That is not now. The Yankees have the best record in the American League since July 27th. The Yankees are coming off a 5-1 West Coast trip where in the last 2 months they have turned a 3-game deficit against the Baltimore Orioles to a 6-game lead heading into last night. A 6-game lead. Their magic number is 3 to clinch the best record in the American League and be the number one overall seed. And we're talking about them like they're a bunch of stumbling idiots. And I don't understand it. As frustrated as I may be, we go way overboard. And like just everything about it. Like, I heard a caller into Keith, and Keith talking about bringing Mesa into the game. Like, tell me exactly who's allowed to pitch, Yankee fans. Like, you can't have Clay Holmes, and we'll get to Clay Holmes now. The manager talked about Clay Holmes in his interview today with John Boy. Clay Holmes can't pitch in a two-run game. God knows Leiter can't pitch in a two-run game. I guess Mesa can't pitch in a two-run game. You got Cousins on the IL. Who's exactly allowed to come in the sixth inning with a two-run deficit to pitch for the New York Yankees? Should they bring Weaver out there for four? Hamilton, you got to go Hamilton, Canely, Weaver, the only three guys we trust in any game where it's within two or three runs. Otherwise, it's punting. Like, what are we talking about? Like, what are we talking about? Then people are mad that Dominguez pinch hits in the ninth for Volpe instead of Verdugo. It's a right-handed closer who's dominant against right-handed hitters. Boone went to the left-handed hitter we all wanted to see. And pitch hit him for the right-handed batter. Like, I have a hard time understanding the anger towards this team. I really do. I'm frustrated. I'm worried they'll blow it. I'm worried they'll lose in the playoffs. They've done it a bunch. Of course. But we're expecting Aaron Boone to manage last night like it's game 7 of the World Series when they have a 6-game lead with 6 to play. I want to clinch, I want to win, and I have no idea why Dominguez isn't starting. But I had no problem with how Boone managed the game. I had no problem with the urgency of how the game was played or managed. The urgency of it is probably what led Gleyber to try and score and come up with the boneheaded play. We're manufacturing things to get mad about a team that's had the best record in the American League for 2 months and went on a 5-1 West Coast trip and came home with a chance to clinch against a series that we all expected the whole season to come down to. We've been talking about this series like it's going to be the biggest series of the season. Everything's going to be dictated on these three games. It's all going to come down to how they play against Baltimore in those three games. The games hardly matter. It's been predetermined. Losing it. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Popcorn Rob in Babylon. What's up, Popcorn Rob?
Hey, how you doing, man? Thanks for taking my call, man. As always. You know something, man, and that's what I called in and I was mentioning, you know, to the individual that answered the call. And I said, you know, all throughout the season, the minute, especially with Keith. I love Keith fan to death, but I mean, it's like we panic, in the beginning of the season. Like when they go on their slumps. You know, every team, these are professional ball players, man. Mm-hmm. It's 162 games.
100% right. But there was a time. Right. They were three games back of Baltimore, and they were playing like trash. They had lost six series in a row. They weren't pitching well. The bullpen was an out-and-out disaster. Like, there was a time to be super critical. And I was screaming about them not bringing up Dominguez. I was like, the offense was scrambling at times. Verdugo wasn't hitting. It made no sense there has been times. But then we act like it's the end of the season here, and we expect Aaron Boone and this to manage, you can't bring in Mesa here. What are we doing, punting the game?
Exactly.
What are we supposed to do? It's a two-run deficit in the sixth inning. You want to bring in your best relievers? You got to try and win the game tomorrow. We got a six-game. I don't understand. This was not game 7 of the World Series. Of course you bring in Mesa. Of course you bring in. And then when it got close, the Yankees built momentum, scored two runs, came within a run. Then he brought out Hamilton to secure a one-run victory in the seventh inning. To secure a one-run deficit in the seventh inning. That makes sense. In the sixth, down two, why would you go? How many innings are you going to pitch your top-level guys? It doesn't make any sense.
And then you need them. You want to have them, you know, fresh.
Protect the lead. That's what you need them for.
And then C+. And then, like I was saying, even with Glaber, I've heard that, numerous of times guys calling in or, some of the, hosts on the show, they talk about how Glaber Torres is, he makes a lot of bowls, though.
No doubt.
His professionalism in terms of on the field. It's not like he's not talented enough to make the plays. It's just that he does a lot of bozo.
No doubt.
The choices to do it. Tries to do too much.
Rob, without question, he's got the ability to do it. It's boneheaded plays. It's mind lapses, no doubt. But don't dismiss them. That's not fair either. They're legit, and he makes way too many of them.
Right, exactly. And even with the run, when he came off of that bay, when he came off of third, and he realized that Soto was running, going towards second, whatever. The reason why he did that, because he wanted to protect. He looked at it like, okay, if I get them on a rundown, if he would have got Soto on a rundown and he would have scored that run before the rundown, now you score regardless.
Watching the replay, he goes back to third base. It's a play you can't make. It is a boneheaded base running decision. Sorry, it just is. We can try and defend him, and I understand why Boone defends him. And I do, especially right now with him hitting like this. I don't want to make a big deal of this. You want to make a big deal of his base running play right now when he's the best leadoff hitter in baseball, arguably, right now? I don't want him focusing on this. I don't want him thinking about this. I don't want him upset about this, honestly. And that's to speak to how fragile I think he can be, which is a problem, which goes back to the problem, no doubt. And that's why I still don't know if I want him to be a part of this team next year. But I need him to be this Glaber right now. If they want to win a World Series, you need this Glaber that's been hitting right now. You need him to continue to be like this. And I don't want him focusing on the base running play. Move on. Let's go. Forget it. They need one more win to secure the division. One more win. That's it. Let's focus on that and get ready for the postseason and not harp on the bad base running play. But it was a horrendous bad base running play. And I also think Soto made a terrible mistake. And I know that's we talk about hustle and everything. There is no need, with Aaron Judge coming up next, to ever take a chance running into an out to open up first base for the opposing manager to throw up the easiest four fingers you've ever seen. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. And I know that's just Soto making what he thinks is a good play. The throw is over the cutoff man's head. Maybe I can get the second base. I think there's a chance if they don't recognize that Gleyber Torres is out by a mile at home, and you never know, it's not worth the tag. They've got Torres nailed at the plate. If he stays at second base and just tries to tag out Soto and Gleyber never runs, I think there's a good chance Soto's out at second base. And today no one's going to care. No one's going to scream. He's Juan Soto, 40 home runs and a 1.0 OPS. So no one's going to scream and go nuts about him making a bad decision. But I think that's on the table. Gunnar Henderson cuts it off early and comes right home because he's got Gleyber out by a mile. But there is never a point for Juan Soto to try and get to second base and risk being thrown out when all you're doing is making the decision for the other manager easy to take the bat out of the best hitter in the world. And I know that seems counterproductive, but it needs to be the case. And Boone needs to get it into Soto's head. Why risk being thrown out? To what? To take the bat out of Judge's hand? Now, they might walk him anyway with second base open. I understand that. In a big spot, in a big playoff game, which, honestly, I don't even think the Orioles would have treated like a big game. Like, let's be honest. I mean, they want to win and get out of their losing ways, but they're securely in a postseason spot, and they're not catching the Yankees for the division. This wasn't all in all that, like, cutthroat a game for either team. And I know they're celebrating. They're celebrating down 5. And Yankee fans are going to get hung up on the idea that the Baltimore Orioles are celebrating being second-place losers. This is what I got to hear. I got to hear Yankee fans, oh, and of course, Baltimore gets to celebrate. They're celebrating being worse than us. They're celebrating falling short of being the Yankees. You think that bothers me? I hope the champagne tastes great, you bunch of losers. How does second place champagne taste? Enjoy it. The Yankees should have sent down a care package. But Yankee fan, oh, and we let them celebrate. Let them celebrate. We just knocked them out of first place. They're celebrating being the first losers. I don't get it. I know they haven't won. I get it. And I know sometimes they're frustrating. Of course, whenever you don't win, it's frustrating. But right now, we should be pumped up about the idea that they're going to win this division, most likely be the number one seed and head into the playoffs with a better opportunity to win the World Series than they've had in a long time. Instead of focusing on, you know, like, I love Keith too. I do. And I have great conversations with him. He's a diehard Yankee fan. But, like, why are we focused get ready for failure? Like, why are we getting ready for failure? I got to talk to Keith about it. Why are we getting ready for failure? Why are we assuming it? Why are we bracing ourselves for it? Come on. Let's go. Same thing with the Mets. Let's go. You were 11 games under 500. Gary Cohen called it rock bottom 6 games into the year. This has been a miraculous group that has done amazing things. They lost one game. Let's go. They have an opportunity to go be the second wild card. And if they get in, they're as dangerous as anybody. I know last night sucked for both teams, but let's go. There is no reason to be doom and gloom about these two baseball teams. And I just, and especially the Yankees, because at least the Met fan can see a way for the season to be over. The Yankees could be swept by Baltimore and need to take one of three from Pittsburgh to secure the division. They're going to win the division. They're going to get a bye. They're going to, at the very least, have home field advantage against everybody but the Cleveland Guardians, who everybody all year told me there's nothing to worry about playing Cleveland. They're in the Central. They wouldn't even be in the postseason if they didn't get to pound on the White Sox all year. Like, that's what I, every time I bring up Cleveland, that's what I get. When they were beating Cleveland to start the year, oh, Cleveland doesn't count. They suck. That's a joke. That whole division's a joke. Now, they're the only team that could possibly have home field advantage over the Yankees, and, you know, we're screaming and crying. And I know it's to avoid the Astros until the ALCS, and I agree with that. I want to do that. I want to win everything. I want to win every time they step on the field. But, I mean, just, we got to calm down a little bit. It's a disappointing loss. Turn around tomorrow, go win with Nestor, who's been pitching great lately. They're not the White Sox. They're the New York Yankees. They have the best record in the American League. They had a bad loss, and they've been playing great. They're coming off a great stretch. This isn't 3 months ago. This isn't the middle of July, late June, when they were floundering and playing awful baseball. It's not what it is. They're coming off a 5-1 West Coast trip. How many series in a row have they won? They have the best record in the American League since late July. 2 months. That's 2 months. And we act like they're the gang who can't shoot straight.